What do you believe about eternal life? And why do you believe it? That's really just one question. It's divided up. It's just one question. But a very important question, because sooner or later all of us face eternity. So let me ask the question again. What do you believe about eternal life? And why do you believe it? There's a great text in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, where Peter is talking to the Christians who have been spread abroad through Asia Minor. They've been suffering great persecution. Some had lost livelihood, and some had lost their lives. Peter writes in that context, and he says to these Christians in Asia Minor, a very unusual statement. He said, be ready always to give a reason, an answer. The Greek word is apologia, means a defense. But always be ready to give an answer to those who would ask of you, what is the reason for the hope that is in you? Let me paraphrase that. Peter was saying, make sure you know what you believe about eternal life and why you believe it, because someone might just ask you what you believe. I want to talk to you about that this morning. I want to talk to you about what you believe and we believe about eternal life. Take your Bible, if you have a Bible with you, and turn it to any place you want to turn it except Revelation, because we're not going there this morning. If you are new to us or you've been away from us for a while, you might not know. Right now, we're currently preaching and teaching through the Revelation. If you'll come back next week, we'll be in chapter 7, one of the highlight passages in all the Revelation. But this morning, I want to go in a different direction. I want to talk to you about what we believe about eternal life. I say what we believe. To be honest with you, I can't talk to you about what we believe about eternal life, because I don't know what we, in the context of all of us, do believe. I can't say what you believe. I just know what I believe. So this morning, I guess the best way to title this is what I believe about eternal life and why I believe it. Now, time is of the essence. We have to move quickly this morning. You might have noticed the choir is doing a few more numbers than they normally do. I want you to know that is my idea. That's not Tyler's idea. Don't come to Tyler and say, why did you have so many numbers? That was all my idea. When Tyler first came here, I said, Tyler, I like to do extra music on Easter and Christmas and Easter or Easter morning or Easter services. I like a little bit of extra music. Tyler took that and ran with it. And ran and ran and ran and ran. You remember that movie where Forrest Gump is running down to score the touchdown? So what do we believe and why do we believe it? Let me just give you some things, and this just very, very quickly, run down just a few things that I believe about eternal life. First thing I believe about eternal life is that God's love endures forever. I'm not sure any of us would want to spend eternity with God if we didn't know that his love endured forever and forever and forever. Amen. John 3:16 says, God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. And that love that God gave then is the same love that God gives now and will give throughout all eternity. I love the way Paul talks about this. In Romans chapter 8, Paul speaks of this enduring love of God. And he says in verse 38, for I am persuaded, a powerful word persuaded, means to be convicted. I'm persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angel nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus the Lord. What was Paul saying? Paul said, without a doubt, the love of God endures forever and forever and forever. He never stops loving you. He never stops loving me. There's nothing you can do to make him stop loving you. Nothing I can do to make him stop loving me. This may sound arrogant. I hope not. But I believe that God loved me on the day I was born and before. And I believe that God will love me on the day I die and beyond. Amen? God's love is forever. It endures forever. There's a second thing I believe about eternal life, and then we'll move quickly through the list. First of all, that God's love endures forever. Second, I believe that after I die, I will live again. Now, I don't know what you believe, but I believe that after I die, something's going to happen, and my soul is going to go into the presence of the Lord, and one day my body will be resurrected and connected to my soul again. But I'm going to live again after I die. I know what people believe. There are those who, the secularists among us, who say that life is just what it is. You live for a moment, then you die, and it's over with. Well, I don't believe that. I believe that after you die, you live again. You know why I believe that? I believe that because I follow Jesus, and Jesus said after I died, I could live again. Do you remember the story in John chapter 11? Jesus is dealing with Martha. Martha's upset. Her brother Lazarus has died. And Martha makes a statement. She says, Lord, if you had been here, he would not have died. And that's probably true. If Jesus had been there at that time, he probably would not have died. But rather than to argue and debate theology with Martha, Jesus simply says, Martha, do you not know? I am the resurrection and the life, and he who believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And he who lives and believes in me shall never really die. I don't understand the metaphysics. I really don't. I can't tell you how he's going to do it. I don't need to know how he's going to do it. I just rest in the fact that the God who created me from the dust of the earth can find my DNA in that dust and recreate me again. and one day I will live after I die. Now, the Bible says that God creates us in his image. I'm not sure all that that means, but at least one part of that is this. Just as there's something about God that goes on forever, there's something about you and me that goes on forever as well. Our soul just goes on, endless and timeless and dateless. The Bible says when God created us, he breathed into us the breath of life. That word breath is the Hebrew word ruach. It means the living essence. He made us a living soul. And your soul goes on forever, and my soul goes on forever. They may not go to the same place, but they go on forever and forever. Let me give you a third thing that I believe. Love of God endures forever. After I die, I live again. The third thing I believe is that there really is a heaven. Now, I know what people think. They say, well, heaven is just a wishful thought. There's no real heaven. I mean, after all, it's just make-believe. It's a myth that people have dreamed up to make them feel better about dying. Well, I don't know how you come across that, but let me tell you what I believe. I believe exactly what Jesus said, that there is a place being prepared for us right now. We call it heaven. It goes by different names in the Bible, but we call it heaven. And it's being prepared right now. That's what Jesus said, John chapter 14. You should know this by now because every other week I think I quote the 14th chapter of John. But let me do it one more time. In John 13, the context of that passage is Jesus has been speaking to the disciples, telling them that he's going to be taken away from them, and they're greatly disturbed. And in John chapter 14, the disciples are so distressed, they're brokenhearted. And Jesus says to them in the 14th chapter of John, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." In other words, the way you believe in God the Father, now put your faith in God the Son. And then he said, "For in my Father's house are many mansions, dwelling places, plenty of room for everyone. If it were not so, I would have told you." Jesus was saying, if it weren't true, I'd never leave the hope of heaven beating in your breast. If there were no heaven, I would tell you there was no heaven. And then he makes this statement. He said, "I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again unto you, that where I am, there you may be also." Imagine a place being prepared by Christ for the last 2,000 years. Imagine such a thing. Well, I don't know about you, but I believe that there is a place called heaven. Now, I don't know much about it. You know, people have the idea that the Bible is one long treatise about heaven, and we know all that we need to know about it. Listen, the Bible doesn't tell you much about heaven. The Bible makes it clear that there is a heaven and there is a hell. But the Bible does not tell us much about what heaven is like. I don't know why that is, but he just does not. Do you remember 2 Corinthians chapter 12, where Paul has this vision of heaven? And his vision is so powerful that he's not even sure it's a vision. He thinks perhaps it's a visit that he was taken to heaven and God let him come back. Well, Paul makes a statement that's troubling to me. He said, "I saw things in heaven that are not lawful to utter." What does that mean? It means I saw things that God will not let me tell you about. Well, why would God not allow Paul to tell us what he saw in heaven? I don't know. The only thing I can surmise is this, that heaven is so great and so grand and so glorious that if you ever saw it for what it is, if you really knew all that it was going to be, you wouldn't want to live out your life. You want to die and go on immediately. That's what happened to Paul before Paul had this vision of heaven. He was a man who was willing to die but wanted to live. Then he had the vision of heaven. He becomes a man who is willing to live but wants to die. He said, "For me to live is Christ, but for me to die would be gain." Now, I don't know a great deal about heaven, but I tell you this, I believe there is a heaven. There is, by the way, one very powerful passage of Scripture that comes closer than any other to giving us a description of heaven. Let me just read it to you. Revelation chapter 21, the Apostle John is speaking. John, who has had a vision of heaven. Here's what he said. John writes, "I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea." Now listen to this next statement. "And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband." Do you know what the holy city, New Jerusalem, is? That is the place that Jesus has been preparing for 2,000 years. And John said, "I saw it descending from the heavens, from above." And then he begins to describe it. He adds to it. He said, "I heard a loud voice," verse 3, "from heaven saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them and be there, and be with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself will be with them and be their God.'" Now listen to this statement, verse 4. "And their God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." Remember last week we were talking about John weeping in heaven? And the elder came up to him and said, "Stop weeping. Tears are inappropriate in heaven." He wipes away every tear. Then he says, "There shall be no more death, no more sorrow, no more crying, no more pain. The former things will have passed away." Can you imagine a life like that? No more death. I hate death. I absolutely hate death. I hate funerals. I'm honored and privileged to do many of them, but I hate funerals because I hate death. Imagine a time and a place where there'll be no death. Imagine a time and a place where you'll never hear the word cancer or heart attack or stroke, or no one's phone rings at 3 o'clock in the morning to give the news that someone you love has died. There is a heaven. You want to know what I believe about eternal life? God's love endures forever. After I die, I will live again. There really is a heaven. Can I give you a fourth thing I believe very quickly? I believe that one day I will see those who've died before me. That those who died before me in the faith are now waiting there on me. That's what I believe. I think the most frequently asked question pastors get, especially at times of funerals, is the question, Pastor, do you really think we'll see our loved one again? Will I see my husband or my wife or my son or my daughter or my mother, my father? Well, who am I to tell you anything other than what the Bible says? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, the entire chapter, Paul is dealing with people who have questions about loved ones who've died. And Paul deals with these people who have the idea that their loved ones are gone now and they'll never see them again. And this is what Paul said. And I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who sleep in Christ or died in Christ. He says, for the day will come when the trumpet will sound, the voice of the archangel will be heard, the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then he says, we who are alive and remain, those of us who have not died, shall be caught up together with them. With who? With those who've died before us believing in Christ. That's who. I believe one day I will see them again. I don't know how you see it or what you believe, but I don't know how it is in your life, but I'm 61 years old, pushing towards 62 now, and I've had time enough in my life to know a lot of people who are on the other side. By the way, you know, the older you get, the more people you have on the other side. You get to a point, you start taking inventory, wondering how many more, you start thinking, maybe there's more on the other side than on this side. But that happens. But the Bible makes it clear, one day we will see, you say, well, do you think we'll know each other? When we see, I absolutely do. There's a very peculiar verse of Scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 says, one day we will know, even as also we are known. Bible scholars debate the meaning of that, but among other things, it must mean that there will come a time when we'll know each other perfectly. And I think we'll know. Listen, in the Bible, people who have already died are known even in that state. You remember the Mount of Transfiguration? Peter, James, and John are with Jesus, and Moses and Elijah appear, and they know it's Moses and Elijah. Yes, I think we'll see our loved ones again. Oh, by the way, there's an interesting text. I don't know whether to tell you or not, because it'll make some of you paranoid. But it occurs to me some of you are paranoid already, so I'll go ahead and tell you this text. In the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 12, there's a tremendous passage of Scripture. It says, we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. Who are the crowd of witnesses that surround us? The previous passage in chapter 11 talks about those who die in the faith before we die. And then the next chapter, chapter 12, begins with, we are now surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. And some Bible scholars believe that that cloud of witnesses are those who died before us, and that perhaps they're not just waiting for us, but they're watching us as well. Now, you do that what you want to do, but I believe one day we'll see our loved ones again. One last thing I want you to know that I believe. I believe the love of God endures forever, and after I die, I'll live again. There really is a heaven. I'll see my loved ones who've gone before me. But the fifth and final thing that I'll tell you this morning that I believe about eternal life is that there I will see Jesus. And I don't know about you, but that's what will make heaven heaven for me. I will see him face to face. The day will come when the one that I've preached about and talked about and read about and taught about, I will see. In fact, I think that'll be the first face I will see in heaven. I know what the songs say. And I love these old songs. They talk about getting to heaven and seeing mama and seeing daddy and seeing grandmama and granddaddy and Aunt Lou and Uncle Sue, you know. And we have this picture about going to heaven. And y'all just caught that, didn't you? I just paranoid you slow. But anyway, you see. And sometimes the songs talk about how our loved ones, our mother, our father, will take us to see Jesus. I don't think so at all. I think the first face you see is going to be the face of Jesus, who will take you to your loved ones. But one day I'll see Jesus face to face. Now I must answer this last question quickly and we'll be done. Why do I believe these things? Say, Pastor, how could someone who's reasonably educated, and I do have a degree from a major university, 2 graduate degrees from 2 of the largest seminaries in the world, So how can someone with a reasonable education believe any of this stuff? Why would you think this is possible? Because 2,000 years ago, a little Jewish man who never hurt anyone, who never did anything wrong, who loved God the Father and talked about a kingdom that would come, was beaten to a pulp, almost to the point of death, beyond recognition, to such a stage that the Bible would say that there was nothing about him that even looked human. They beat him to the point where he looked more like hamburger. They nailed him to a cross. They lifted him in the air. They allowed him to die, took him down from the cross, put him in a tomb. 3 days later, up from the grave he arose. Up from the grave he arose. And if the resurrection is true, if the resurrection is true, and it is, then we all have good reason to hope for and long for that day when we will see him face to face. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes for just a moment? The choir will get ready to sing one more number for us. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Do you believe in the resurrected Christ? Do you have the courage, just the courage to raise a hand and say, I believe in the resurrected Christ? Would you do that right now? No one's looking around. No one look. All over the room are people who say they believe in the resurrected Christ. My second question is this. Have you received the resurrected Christ? It's one thing to believe in him. It's quite another thing to receive him. Jesus said, to as many as will receive me, to them I give the right to be called the children of God, the sons of God. I'm so thrilled that you believe in Jesus Christ, the resurrected Christ, but have you received him? You say, Pastor, how can I receive Christ? It's really very simple. God made it so simple that I can understand and you can understand. Start with an act of faith and prayer. Pray something like this. Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. I confess that. I repent of my sin. And you died on the cross for my sin. And so, Lord, I'm accepting that as a gift of grace. I'm asking you now to come into my life, to save me, forgive me, cleanse me, take charge of me. Be Lord of my life now and forever. Would you pray a prayer like that? Say, is that all there is to this Christianity stuff? No. That's just where it begins. But it is where it begins. Father in heaven, thank you for our day with you. To think about your son, to bask in the glow of his resurrection. Now, Holy Spirit, draw men and women to Jesus Christ. And Lord Jesus, receive our praise. For it is in your name, your holy, awesome name, that we pray. Amen.